Well, good morning, Austin Oaks Church. Hi, I'm Brandon. Good to see you. Happy New Year. Man, it's like January 6th and it's the first Sunday and it's so good to be back. Church, I am excited for this year. I am beyond excited for this year. Not only because it's a new year, but I really believe in my heart that God's going to do some things that we're going to have to see to believe. I believe God wants to do more in your life. I believe he wants to do more in the life of the church, in the city, in the world. I believe he wants to do more things in your children's lives. I just pray and trust that you are willing to put yourself in the best environments for you to receive all that God has for you in 2019. I'm excited for it, and our desire as a church is basically to produce environments where you can experience as much of God as you desire. And so we're going to be pushing things like small groups. We're going to be pushing things like the Grove Track. But nonetheless, what I'm really excited about this year is how we're starting out this year. I'm beyond thrilled that we're able to start out this year as a church family to slow down and to focus on probably one of the greatest gifts we have as believers in Jesus is that we get to pray. We get to pray. We get the opportunity to converse with the God who spoke all things into being. And we're going to slow down and we're going to try to dial into his frequency. We need to remove all the other distractions and all the other voices in our lives. And we have to slow down in order to understand and to hear his voice better in our lives. Because I'm telling you, I believe this to my core, that when we pray, God moves. When we pray, God moves. And I know that as we start to talk about prayer, it can bring up a whole bunch of emotions and feelings and letdowns and joys and all these types of things. And my hope and desire is that over the next 4 weeks, as we journey together as a church through prayer, that some of those questions will be answered. I understand that I won't be able to get to every single question, every single concern, every little theological nuance when it comes to prayer. And that's why we're also going to spend the month of August in prayer, which really excites me. If you can't tell, I love praying. Because when we pray, God moves. God moves. So, I want you to take some notes right now, okay? Grab a piece of paper, grab a pen. It's probably in your bulletin. I don't know. I didn't check it. I wasn't really paying attention the last couple of weeks at work. So, who knows? Obviously, as you can tell with the video announcement, Tyler, I'm coming for you. I'm just letting you know. Okay? So I'm going to challenge you as a church, okay, to do some things during this month of prayer. Okay, we were going to call it 21 days of prayer, but I kind of changed course a little bit. But what we want to do is that in this month, we want to turn up the temperature in this specific spiritual area in our lives. So I want to encourage you to do four things. The first one is I want you somewhere, somehow in your life, in your week, in your rhythms, to dedicate more time to praying, okay? I don't know what your schedule is like, but I want you to dedicate some extra time to just praying. Now, that means put your phone away. You know, dialogue, get rid of the distractions and all the other things. Find a space where you know you won't be distracted, a place where you know you won't fall asleep. Yeah? Like praying, laying down, probably not a good idea, right? Like I did that once on a mission trip and people said I was snoring. I was like, no, I'm praying. They're like, no, you were snoring. It doesn't work, okay? So find a place to do that. And if you are up to it, I want to challenge you. Maybe one time this month, fast. You can fast from food. You can fast from media. Ooh, there would be a tough one. I think that'd be even tougher than food. Okay, maybe. But I want you to do that, and we're going to provide you with some resources how to do a fast where you're just not like fasting for the sake of fasting, but you're going to spend some of that extra time in praying and seeking God's heart and voice, okay? And so the other things I want to encourage you to do is every Wednesday, starting this Wednesday at 6 p.m., you writing this down? Wednesday, 6 p.m. here at the church in the upper room, the space right back there where Nueva Vida meets on Sundays, we're going to gather as a church for prayer. Okay, and we're going to do it the way that the staff team has been praying, and it's been really beautiful, where we're going to ask for people to continue to write out their prayer requests, bring their prayer requests in, and we're going to lay those all down at the front, right? And so we're just going to spend some time in worship. We're going to go out, and everybody's going to grab the prayer request. We're going to spend some time praying for every single prayer request that's there. And after some time, maybe like 20 minutes or so, we're going to come together, and we're going to pray kind of like the early church did. We would gather up nice and close together, and we were going to pray through the Lord's Prayer, seeking His face, His kingdom, and those types of things. And I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss it. I want to encourage you, come to at least one. Okay, come to at least one. But if you can, we would love to see you at every single one on Wednesdays. Also, on Sunday mornings, we pray typically at 8:15 on Sunday morning before the service. So we're going to open up two different slots for this month on a Sunday morning to pray for the service at 8:15 to 9, and then at 10:15 to 11. We would love for you, again, just to peek in on one of those, and those are going to be in the prayer chapel, okay? Outside of this wall, we're giving you opportunities aplenty. Outside of this wall here, on the little spinny wall things that my son loves to run around and spin and hide on, there's going to be this opportunity to write down some prayer requests. And then on the other side, it's going to be like opportunities to write down answers to prayer. We just want to have this scene just to kind of stir one another up. Last but not least, we have a prayer guide for you. Okay, grab that on your way out. We want to make sure that you have every opportunity and every resource where you can turn up the temperature in prayer this month. And we hope that it turns into just part of your normal fabric as we continue this on. Prayer is the lifeblood of the believer. Prayer is so foundational to our relationship with Jesus. It's just as vital as communication is to any relationship. Right? If your communication is not healthy, I can pretty much determine that your relationship isn't going to be healthy. It is that intimately connected, okay? And we know this deep down. We know that prayer is important. Like most people, when they're in a desperate need or an extreme crisis, even if you're not a believer, people tend to somehow instinctively want to pray. They want to cry out. They, help, God, help. And some of us have a hard time with prayer. Okay, let's just do a quick survey. How many of you struggle with prayer? Don't be embarrassed. How many of you struggle with prayer? I'm going to raise my hand. I struggle with it sometimes, right? There's some times where I'm like, man, why am I even telling God all of my needs? Isn't He God? Doesn't He know? And sometimes I'm asking for all these things and I don't seem like He even answers me. And sometimes, like for me, like one of the areas where I struggle with is believing that God is good, because sometimes I'm like, I'm afraid to come in prayer because I'm afraid that God's going to drop the hammer on me and just say, you're not doing enough. You're not good enough. And all these types of things. Or maybe He's going to say, you're not going the right way. You're like, I don't want to hear that. Or He's going to say, you need to confess this sin. And I'm going to be like, I don't want to, right? And so therefore, I control it by not praying. Some of us are afraid of prayer because, quite frankly, you might have had a weird experience, okay? Let me share with you one of mine, one of my pet peeves. So if you ever were to pray with me, you'll know what not to do around me, okay? Like if you ever pray like in a group, and like I have no problem with holding hands and praying. Like I think that's kind of fun and cute and all that kind of stuff. And there's something there, but do not interlock your fingers with me. Like you ever have that happen? Like I remember I'll be praying, there's like strangers, I don't know them, and like we're holding hands. I'm just expecting like the cup thing, and all of a sudden they're like trying to like come in between and I don't know them, and I'm like my hand wants to go, come on. And then you're praying, right? And then like sometimes you don't know which part of the Trinity you're supposed to pray to. Right? You ever have that problem? Like, Father God, Jesus, I forgot the Holy Spirit. Father God, Holy Spirit. You're like, you get any things and you just don't know. And some people around that circle might have a prayer language. Like all of a sudden, they start speaking in King James. Right? You know, it's something like that. It's like it's all of a sudden something just drastically changes. And then the prayer is over. And then there's that nice, courteous little amen, the little hand squeeze. Anybody, who's the hand squeezer? No one's going to admit it. It's okay. You can squeeze my hand if we pray. Just do not interlock your fingers with me. Like, that's just weird. Okay? I struggle with that. All humor aside. My goal in these 4 weeks is just to simply answer this question. It's to simply answer this question. Does God speak? Does God still speak? You're going to see, I define God's voice rather generously, and you're going to see that, okay? Because I think a lot of times when we throw this question up there, it can get weird, and I think some people get a little bit afraid because they go, oh, it's going to get weird, we're going to get a little weird here. It's like, no. Like, you're going to see and be encouraged that you've all heard God's voice if you're a follower of Jesus, okay? I want to encourage you with that. But what I want to do is I want to give us the tools to learn how to hear and to discern God's voice, to discern God's will for your life. I want to help you learn how to tune into God's frequency, right? So that means we need to tune out other voices and other frequencies, that we got to learn how to remove the clutter and the weight and all the distractions in our life that get in the way of hearing God's voice. The other part I want to try to do is I want to convince you, because I think some of us see prayer this way. In fact, sometimes I do as well, that sometimes we tend to see God as one big ear and we're one big mouth, right? Like it's like, I'm the big mouth, he's the big ear, here's all my requests. God help me, God I need, God this, and then I've got my whole list and I'm just plowing through the list, and we don't necessarily believe that God actually speaks. I want us to understand that it's a relationship, right? Okay, so think about this. Hearing God's voice is one of the greatest gifts that we have, and here's why. Because at the heart of prayer is the heart of intimacy. If you take communication away from any relationship, verbal or nonverbal, if you take it away, you remove the possibility of intimacy. If you take it away, there's no possibility for intimacy, verbal or nonverbal, it's gone. You could even say that if the relationship is only one-sided, right? If one is a big mouth and one is a big ear, that relationship is going to be hindered. A relationship is a give and take. It's where I speak, God listens, God speaks, I listen. It's a relationship that's intimate, and God's the one that initiates that. In fact, one of my favorite authors, the late Dallas Willard, he says this, and I want you to sit on this a little bit, okay? Because this is so good. If God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they could have a personal relationship with God. If God doesn't speak, then the greatest disservice we could do is to tell people they could have a personal relationship with God. Because a relationship requires communication. It requires communication. So does God speak? I want to use a passage that we've used a few months ago, and this passage is going to kind of be like the platform for this series, and it's in John chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 3-5 a little bit here, because in this imagery where Jesus is painting himself as this picture as the door, you know, and the good shepherd, there's a beautiful dynamic in here about how God speaks and how we listen. It's a beautiful dynamic, so let's look at this. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Church, we have a speaking God. The sheep hear his voice. The sheep are the ones who are underneath the good shepherd's care, right? And the shepherd, as we know, like even back in those days and even still to this day, the shepherd has to intimately acquaint himself with his sheep. Like, because sheep have this innate ability to be able to tune in to the frequency of their shepherd, so much so that if another shepherd and the frequency of that shepherd's voice isn't familiar to them, they will not listen. And so it requires the shepherd to speak a lot to that sheep so that they would know the voice of the shepherd, right? And so this is the image that we get. This is so profound because we know this to be true about us, okay? We follow the voice of the one whom we know best. We always follow the voice of the one who is the loudest and the most influential in our lives, the one we're most acquainted with. This is absolutely important. For the believer, it ought to be Jesus. His voice ought to be the one that we're tuned into the most. But sometimes the voice of conformity or greed or selfishness or, you know, doubt or insecurity, whatever it is, oftentimes tends to be the loudest, right? Maybe it's your own pride, like, I'm going to lead my own self. I need to get this. I need to do this. Whatever it is, so many other voices compete for us. It's so important. We have to be tuned in to his voice. To him, the gatekeeper opened, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. I love that. He calls each sheep out by name. I don't know what they would call their sheep. Fluffy. Spot, you know, like stinky. Like, I don't, like, they got their names, and he calls them each out by name. Okay, obviously this is an illustration or a picture of how God woos us out of death into life. This is encouraging because he knows you by name. And he's speaking to you. He wants you so badly to become intimate with his voice. He's going to keep calling out to you, hey, come home. Hey, I love you. Hey, you're mine. You're my son. You're my daughter. And that's the role of the shepherd, is to get you to keep hearing that so you can trust his voice. He brings them out. He leads them out. I love this. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before him, right? He goes before the sheep, and the sheep follow him. Why? Believe me, I'm cheating. Why do they follow him? For they know his voice. Why do they follow the shepherd? They know his voice. They trust it. He's for them. This tells me something. This tells me that knowing his voice is absolutely imperative in order to be led by him. Knowing his voice is absolutely imperative to be led by Jesus, to be led by the voice of God. Or another way that I like to say this, because it's one and the same, led by the Spirit. So how well are you acquainted with the voice of the shepherd? The easiest way to do is, God speaks primarily through his word. If you want to know his heart and you want to know him, you got to get to know this. The word is Jesus, right? Like, we understand that. This is so important. You want to know what God's heart is? You want to know his design for you, his purpose for you, how he sees you, how he'll be faithful to you? You got to get into this. You got to allow this to get beyond just the head and into your heart. Knowing his voice is absolutely imperative to be led by him, because this image here of, like, the sheep following him, okay, the shepherd's out there and the sheep are trailing behind, following. Our struggle is that we don't want to follow. Anybody with me here? Like, we love to lead ourselves. I know where our green pasture is. I think it's over here. Right? Like, we think we know what's best. We would rather do it our own way. So here's something that I've discovered reflecting over 2018 while I was sick, lying in bed. And I was realizing something as I was praying through this series and thinking about this dynamic and about one of the reasons why I struggle with wanting to pray is because I don't like to be dependent on God, right? So here's a statement that I want to share with you that I believe we need to hear that is absolutely important for us to understand. Prayerlessness is my ultimate declaration of independence from God. Prayerlessness is ultimately my declaration of independence from God. Because, I mean, sometimes, like, we'll pray, but we're not necessarily praying in a posture of dependence. We're just all of a sudden finding ourselves praying because there's a great need. Like, our own efforts didn't work. Oh, God, could you help me out, further my own path? God, could you further fix the problem I've created? Like, help? Like, what if the posture of our life was constant dependence upon God? Going wherever he leads, and it's the best thing there is because God can only lead to life. Because not only that, like, didn't Jesus taught us to not pray, or taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. This is so important because he tells us this in verse 5, right? It's like a stranger they will not follow. Well, why won't they follow a stranger? They will flee because they don't know the voice of the stranger. I think one of the reasons why we find ourselves so easily prone to fall into temptation, like we're all going to be tempted, but falling into temptation actually means like we've given in and we've acted out on that temptation, is because we're not as familiar with the voice of the shepherd. Maybe our greatest problem is a hearing problem. Like if we're so in tune with the Spirit and learning to hear his voice and grounded in his word, like we will start to be able to discern between right and wrong because the Spirit will start to prompt us and convict us and give us checks in our spirit on what to do. Does God speak? Absolutely. Absolutely he does, because he wants a relationship with us. He speaks primarily, as I said, through his word. I believe every verse speaks his voice. There's nothing that can be added. There's going to be no further revelation. This will never be changed. God will fulfill everything that is said in here. Like, absolutely. This is God's word. In fact, we're even told that to filter out other voices. We're to test and to weigh other voices and to hang on to what is good and basically throw out the bad. Like, this is absolutely important. Like, God speaks primarily through his word. But I'm going to say something that might make some people feel a little uneasy. It's not the only way he speaks, though. He speaks primarily through his word, but it's not the only way he speaks, because God is God. God can choose to speak any way that he wishes. And a lot of times he'll speak through our desires. He'll speak through our pain. He speaks through creation. Like even this morning, driving in at 7 something in the morning, beautiful sunrise. Oh, I was like, God, God's saying, look at me. Look how great, like, you know, he was speaking this morning. Right? Like, he speaks through open and closed doors. Sometimes he speaks through dreams, through people, through promptings, nudges, checks in our spirit. And I say all this because we dare not try to put God, the Holy Spirit, in a box who is described as the wind. Yes, hear me. Yes, everything needs to be weighed and tested. Absolutely it does. If it doesn't align up with Scripture, if it doesn't line up with God's character, if it won't produce the fruit of the Spirit, throw it out. Hang on to what's good, right? And we see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul, giving the church in Thessalonica some commands, he tells them, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In other words, you can have a continual dialogue with God, almost like, okay, God, where are you at work? God, what are you speaking into the situation? And you can even just quickly pray to God. This doesn't mean you're going to be in a prayer meeting 24/7, because that would, unless God's presence was like present, like that would be hard to stay awake in, right? Like, pray without ceasing. And then he gives some really great commands here. It's like, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Don't put fire out. Do not despise prophecies. In other words, it's kind of like, if God chooses to speak in other ways, don't hold them in contempt. Rather, as a church family within community rooted in Scripture through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Yeah, God speaks. Absolutely. Absolutely he does. And so here's what we're going to do. Okay? You didn't know it, but you're signed up this morning because you're here to participate in a 10-question survey. Okay? And so this survey, my goal is to kind of like lower our guards a little bit, because I want us to understand that just because we use the words or the language God speaks, we're not talking about like an audible voice from heaven. Like if God's ever given a loud audible voice from heaven, it's the gospel. It's Jesus. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, one would say that in the old days, in the days beyond, God spoke in many ways through the prophets, but today he speaks through Jesus. If you ever want to know God's heart and desire and affections for you, you look to Jesus. Look at the cross. Look at the empty tomb. That should scream loud enough. But let's take this 10-question survey, okay? If you say yes to any of these questions, I would love it if you would participate with me and raise your hand high, okay? None of this like alligator arm high, okay? Like high. Okay, and if you don't want to participate like that, you just kind of want to be in the shadows, that's okay. You don't have to. I won't judge you right now. But like, no, I'm just kidding. I won't judge you. But if you don't want to participate, that's totally fine. Okay, you can answer it in your head. But if for those of you, hi, okay? Okay, question one. Did God call you to himself when you became a Christian? Okay. Have you ever heard God through the scripture? Like you're reading something, you're like, oh, something stirred and connected or convicted or whatever. Okay? Has God ever spoken to your heart in a sermon or a message through a minister, priest, or teacher? Thank you. I feel good. No, just kidding. Has God ever spoken to your heart through a worship experience? Okay? Has God ever spoken to you about an issue you need to make right with him or with others? Yeah, we don't like this one. Like, of course, like we wouldn't be telling ourselves, hey, I need to confess this sin. I really should do that. Or I need to reconcile with so-and-so. It's like out of nowhere, you're just like, I should do that. Well, that's God speaking. That's the Spirit leading, okay? Has God ever spoken to you in affirming you in areas where you truly please him? I'm proud of you. You're so good. I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm pleased. Has God ever spoken to you by placing on your heart a strong urge or burden to pray for someone? Okay. I don't know. I mean, this is like awesome. Okay. Has God ever spoken to your heart to prompt you to encourage someone? Okay. Has God ever spoken to you in a still, small voice to give you direction or encouragement? Okay? Has God ever spoken to you through a dream? Okay. Probably 9 out of those 10 were safe and comfortable until we got to there. Because some of you were like, what? But at least a third of this room raised their hand. And you know, weigh and test it. Hold on to what is good. I share all of this because I want you to know that some of you who wrestle with prayer and say, like, I struggle with hearing God's voice. Like, how can you do that? Like, I don't know if I do. I said all these questions because I want to encourage you. You know the voice of your shepherd. You know his frequency. The more you dial into that frequency, the better you'll be able to hear it. Think about, like, I don't know if you had this, but growing up, my dad had one of those old radios. Like, you had to, like, you got it. You're like, okay, and if it isn't quite right, you grab the antennas, right? And you started to move it, like, especially in TV. Like, the TV ones are the best, right? The bunny ears, and you do that. Back in my house, we had to get aluminum foil, right? You start to do the aluminum foil thing, and then, like, you hold it, and then it's like, is it your brother's turn or your turn to hold it? Like, right? Like, you just got to dial it in to get the right frequency. We know the shepherd's voice. But sometimes there are so many things in our lives that are screaming or louder that we give ear to. My goal and my heart and my desire for you is to be more in tune with the voice of the shepherd this year than any other voice. That when a voice of a stranger comes squawking at you, you flee. Does God speak? Yes. Why does he speak? Let's answer that question. Why does God speak? Well, he speaks because he wants your heart. He speaks because he wants your heart. He speaks through Jesus, as Hebrews 1:2 tells us. That's the loudest message God could give us. He speaks through Jesus. He's pursuing you. He's the one coming after you. He's the one initiated. He's the one screaming out, I love you. I'm for you. I made a way for you. I'm giving you hope. I'm giving you an opportunity for life. He's the one doing that. And he wants to enter into a relationship where you can begin to depend upon him as Abba Father, and you are his son or daughter. I remember one time, like I don't remember when it was like 18, 17 years old, I wasn't a Christian, you know, and I was struggling with drugs and alcohol and all this kind of stuff, and I didn't care to go to church. I was a Lutheran, and so we went to church on Christmas and Easter, and we said that was good. And I remember going to church with my parents, Christmas Eve, St. Stephen's, Beaver Dam, somewhere in 1990s, and because my dad was always late, my dad is always late, and this always makes me angry. We were always early. We would get into college early, and he was always the late one, because in Lutheran church, if you're late, they usher you to the front, and the whole church watches you. And so I had a front row seat on Christmas Eve, and in the front of the altar was the statue of Jesus. And I can't explain it to you. I couldn't look at him. I mean, I was sitting there, and I just couldn't look at it. I knew it was a dumb statue, but I just couldn't do it because I was feeling so much guilt and shame and conviction. And then I, like, during the song silence, I looked up and I felt like God was saying, come home. I love you. Come home. And I started crying because I said, I can't. I walked out. He was trying to go after my heart. And obviously the story goes, he got my heart. There was other times where I'd be like dealing with a sin issue in my life, and I didn't want to confess it. I don't want to bring it to the light. And so I try to not pray, because I know that every time I pray or get in the word, somehow, some way, God's going to bring up that issue. And I don't want to. But he kept pushing on me. He kept convicting me of that sin to the point where I had no other option to do it. And he kept saying, it's like, bring it into the light. I love you. It's for your good that you do this. I want your heart, and this is killing your heart. He speaks because he wants your heart. But secondly, he speaks because he loves to encourage you. He's your good father. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He longs to encourage you. And some of us are afraid to approach him because we think that he's going to shame us or guilt us or tell us that we're not doing enough or we're not good enough. We didn't perform enough. We didn't give enough. We didn't go to church enough. We're not in a small group. Well, you should be in a small group, but that's besides the point. Like, you know, like we start to feel like all these things that God is not pleased with. God's voice will never condemn you. It will never guilt you. It will never shame you. It will never tell you you're unworthy. It will never, ever, ever do that. God loves to encourage his children. One of my favorite things to do as a dad, and I love that the dads both did it. My favorite thing to do as a dad is to come up to one of my kids on random and just pull them in close, get in their ear and whisper, buddy, I'm so proud of you. To which my son would always go, why? To which I'd go, I just am. Babe, I love you. Like, I love doing that. God loves to do that. And some of you this morning, you need to hear his voice encourage you. You're a good dad. You're a good mom. You've done the best you could. I'm proud of you. Get back up. Get back in the game. Like, that's him. He also speaks so that he can warn us. Lead us not into temptation. How many of you have ever had that where you were on the brink of sinning? Oh, come on. Someone admit you're a sinner. Like, you ever had that moment where you're like, you're about to make a stupid decision and you know it's stupid, but you're like, I'm going to do it anyways. And all of a sudden, somewhere in your spirit, you just get this check, this and you know, like, you know that's not you. And it's like God saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Mm-mm-mm. That's not good. He warns us because he wants to lead us out of temptation. He says, even pray for that. Pray that way. I'll do it. I want to. I remember years ago, I was like fairly early on in ministry, and somehow I started to confuse my identity with my worth of how I did. And so I started to think that if I was a good pastor, God would love me more. And then if I wasn't doing well, obviously I'm failing, then God would be disappointed with me on all these types of things. And it was a train wreck. And my heart got cold. My heart got callous. I got really bitter and resentful. And I started to do some stupid things. And I was thinking stupid things. And I was just ready to quit. I was ready to throw in the towel. And I got called to go speak at this conference thing. And I didn't want to do it because I was like, I'm done. This is stupid. I don't even know if I believe in this and all this kind of stuff. And I told my wife before I was going, I was like, I don't want to do this. I quit, right? I go to the place, and before the conference, I decided, okay, God, I'm going to give you one more try. And I walked out to the river and just to pray. And I'm praying, and it's me and God. I'm having a pity party by myself. Like, God, I've tried my best, and where are you, and all this kind of stuff. And then out of nowhere, in the corner of my eye, I see this older gentleman hobbling with a cane, okay, you know, has his hat, he's got this face, I'm like a bulldog, he's got a cigar in his hand, and I went, it's Winston Churchill! Like he's my favorite historical figure, and he's just like, you know, like going up to me, and I'm thinking to myself the whole time, please do not sit by me. Like, you know, like you have that moment, you're like, just leave me alone, it's me and God, I'm trying to do business with God, and he sits down right next to me, and of course, and I go, come on, you know, it's just like, God, I'm trying. And all of a sudden this guy, he just starts to pry into my life. Like, I don't even know who, you know, he is. He's just starts like, why are you here? You know, starting to ask him questions, like, what do you do? And, you know, why the long face and all this kind of stuff. And I share it with them. I'm a pastor. These are things that are happening. I'm really discouraged. I'm mad at God. I'm angry. I'm going to quit. And he just looked at me, his cigar in hand. He's like, you can't quit. God needs you. They need you. He just gets up and walks away, and I'm just like, okay, you know? You know, and I went and spoke, and I called my wife afterwards, let her know, and she was like, Brandon, and I told her this, and she got a little giddy on the phone, and I was like, whoa. She's like, right around that time, I was praying that God would send someone to encourage you. God knew I was on the verge of making some poor decisions, and he knew that I was extremely discouraged. And I don't know why God chose to do it that way. I don't know, but he did. God speaks because he wants our heart, because he wants to encourage us, he wants to warn us. But last and not least, he speaks because he desires to lead you. He wants to lead you. Like, I love this verse in Isaiah 30. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn from the right, you turn to the left. Like, he wants to give us direction. And that's why we pray for open doors and closed doors. Here's a fun question for me. Like, how did you know I was going to be your next senior pastor? I really hope it wasn't because of the sermon I preached that Sunday. Like, how did you know? God led that. We trust that he led that. Like, he was giving us direction, that he was helping us turn from the right and to the left. Like, even with my wife and I, how did we know that leaving Winona in that church and coming here was all the right thing? We pray and God leads and God directs. He does that. But here's my favorite. He wants to lead you. Like, he guys, some of you don't believe that he wants to lead you. Some of you aren't convinced that God wants to lead you. Some of you are just like, God, I somehow need to convince you to lead me. He's like, no. You need to be convinced that I want to lead you. You got to be convinced that I know what's best for you, where to take you. I'm going to fly through this a little bit. But he also speaks to give us perspective. He speaks to give us perspective. Because a lot of times we don't see the spiritual world. We only see the physical. We only see what's here in front of us. We're told in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that we are to live by faith, walk by faith, not by sight, to focus on the things that are unseen versus what is seen. I mean, this is hard. We need God to do that. Sometimes, like when we're going through a season of suffering, we need God to give us perspective. Sometimes when even things are going well, or why God would change things or put a check in our spirit, we need God to give us perspective. And sometimes God does, and sometimes God lets the mystery hang on for a while. And there's other moments where that things start to feel slightly coincidental. You're like, well, was that a coincidence? Or did God kind of set that up? Did he lead? Like, for instance, this Friday, I was working on the sermon and praying and really wrestling with a certain point. And all of a sudden, I got this text message from an old pastor friend of mine who I haven't spoken to in years. And he was like, Brandon, funny prank call, ha, ha, ha. You know, and I was just like, what are you talking about? I was like, at first I didn't even remember who it was. And I was like, oh, it's Craig, Craig. I was like, I didn't call you. He's like, yeah, funny. You pranked me. I was like, dude, I didn't call you. Trust me, I didn't call you. And he showed me his caller ID. And sure enough, somehow a telemarketer must have got a hold of his number and all this kind of stuff. And the next thing you know, like, I just felt in my gut like this isn't an accident. And I felt like I needed to ask him how he's doing, how his faith is. And all of a sudden, he just proceeded to basically just spew out how him and his wife have abandoned his faith and how their marriage is on the rocks and how he wants to piece some things back together and come back to Jesus, but he doesn't know how. And I'm going, was that really a telemarketer? Like, you know, it's like God sometimes needs just to help us clue into certain things. God loves to speak. God loves to speak. And folks, I'm telling you, sometimes we simply need to put more trust in what we hear than what we see. Sometimes we need to trust more what we hear than what we see. And that's what it means sometimes to be led by the Spirit. That's what it means to listen to his voice, to be led by his voice. So three things I want to encourage you to do as we continue in this series. The first thing I want you to do, because we're gonna dive into some subjects in the next 3 weeks that I believe are gonna be really, really helpful and motivational for us to be passionate about prayer. But the first thing we need to do is to prepare our hearts. Next Sunday, we're diving into this subject head on, how we need to prepare our hearts, look at the clutter, look at the baggage, look at the things in our lives, the competing voices in our lives. Tune out of those things and tune into God's frequency. So some of you, what you need to do this morning is just to simply just ask God, is there a sin in my life? God, is there a sin in my life that I haven't confessed? I'm telling you, if you ask that, God will answer it and be okay if sometimes he doesn't. You know, like that's a good thing. Maybe another way of asking the question is, God, have I been disobedient to something that you already asked me to do? Because I'm telling you, he's not going to give you more things to do until you go back and obey the thing that he asked you to do that you've been saying no to. So just start to prepare your heart. Ask him, what are the weights and things that distract you? The second thing is just to be open to hear. Be open to hear. And the best way to do that, folks, make 2019 the year when you get back into this. Start getting into this. This is the word of God. The word is alive and active, sharper than double-edged sword. Like, this is going to be God's clearest voice for us. It's so important. So important. And this is how we start to discern other nudgings and promptings and stirrings and other things that we use as language. It's right here. Be open to hear. I can't think of any better story than Samuel. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Like, what if that was your posture for 2019? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening, implying I'm eager to respond. It's not just okay to listen. Our love is best shown through obedience. Be eager to respond. Would you guys mind if I shared with you one really embarrassing story? Sometimes, I don't know, I still don't know if this was God's voice or not, I don't know. I remember one time back in Winona, we had these lakes where we could walk around, and I was walking around the lake and I was praying and I was just worshiping God. And I was just praising him for who he was, all these kind of things. And I felt like God's like, get on your knees right now in this park and raise your hands up. And I was just like, why? I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And I was like, that's just kind of weird. But then I just started to think about it. As I just got to a real childlike faith. I was like, I don't know if it was him. Why not? Like, if he's saying to do it, I should do it, right? And I was just like, I wanted to do what he was asking me to do. So I remember just going down on my knees, a bunch of people running behind me going, like, I was just like, I don't know if it's you. I'm going to do it. This is really awkward. Okay. And then I turned into T-Rex arms after a while. I was just like, I don't know where that came from, but I just, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Be eager to hear. As we, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and those who are serving communion to come on up. And as we celebrate communion with each other this morning, I want us to go all the way back to that Hebrews 3 passage that I shared with us before we got into the message. If you hear his voice today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I don't know, maybe this is the day where you're hearing God speaking for you to come home, calling you out by name. Maybe some of you just simply need to know, he's not calling you into a religion. He's calling you into a relationship. And he opens up that door through his son, Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins. And then he conquered death and the grave so that we could have new life. If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Say yes and move towards Jesus. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. Some of you, if you're hearing him and he's starting to bring up a sin in your life that you need to confess and you don't confess it, that's kind of hardening your heart. Today, if you're hearing his voice, if you're feeling a prompting, a stirring, an inkling to do anything and you don't respond to it, the ultimate result is you're going to harden your heart. And that's why I love the gospel, is because this brings us back to the basics of remembering that Jesus came, his body was broken, his blood was shed so that we could have this life-changing relationship with him. That means we can communicate, we can pray with him. We can boldly approach the throne of grace. So I'm going to give you some space just to ask the Lord to speak to your heart, whatever it is, nudging. And one of the things you're going to hear me say in the next 3 weeks, and this is so important because, again, we weigh and test everything. The best prayer is scripture-fed, spirit-led, and worship-based. Like, it has to have that foundation. And we let God speak to our hearts. Let him nudge you. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive and active. So, Father, I just ask that now you would speak to your children. Bring verses back to their minds or encourage them or speak your love to them. Reveal sin to them as needed. God, even show them areas of disobedience or what their next step is. If there's people in this room who are needing discernment on a job decision or a relocation or whatever it is, God, we ask that you would speak clearly. Pray this in Jesus' name.